This morning, would you welcome with me Pastor Elder Ron DeLorme?
Good morning, church. Good to see y'all. So, great worship. Last night I was thinking, is there a song that I could ask, you know, to have for worship today? And I had a couple songs came to mind, but then I just felt, no, I'm just going to leave it with the Lord. And it's like all your stuff was just right on for what I've felt like I'm going to be speaking about. I'm speaking about don't lose heart. So it was incredible. And Brian, I think you might have a name for your album. This also must pass, or kidney stones. So I don't know. Looking forward to it though. And then, you know, we talk about the trials and the different things we're going through in these days. And I would say that probably a lot of people, and I've talked to people, that were close to like losing heart, and even Christians, even people that know the Lord, and they're saying like, "What's happening?" And last night, yesterday was my sort of last day to work on this and put it together. And my son and his fiance, they took Bonnie and me for brunch, and I got home a couple hours later, and Bonnie and I, we went downtown. Actually, it started when we were downtown at Walmart. I had the Pioneer breakfast, the big one that Steve always eats, or whatever it's called. Anyway, and there was the sausage, and pretty hard to resist, but we were sitting at Walmart, and my arms started to get these hives and welts all over them, and it was horrible, almost to the point where I had to tear my shirt off. And anyway, I didn't do that. There's too many people. So we got home, and I was in pain with it. And Bonnie got some Benadryl, and it was probably about 2 in the morning when it started. I felt relieved, but I really didn't sleep well. And then this morning, I started to feel it again. I didn't eat anything, but I think it's still sort of from that. And anyway, so I just took a couple Benadryl. So if I fall asleep while I'm talking.
It's the peace of the Lord.
Yeah, amen. So with that, yeah, how are things, right? Who's going through stuff?
Yeah.
I think all of us, right? So trying to make sense of it all. And here we are in a world of conflict. And it's really nothing new. It's a bit different, but it's always been happening. And then we have our stuff, you know, we listen to the news. I'm trying to not listen to as much of it anymore because it's just so repetitive and quite negative. And then it's from man's perspective, right? So we need to hear stuff from God's perspective. But, you know, it's always man. And then we're dealing with friends and their opinions and stuff. And that's been really hard because I've got family members that are really trying to come against me in it all. Well, you're just, anyway. So there's, as I think about all this, there's definitely, it seems like a moral shift from God to personal pleasures. There's a drift in the churches. More and more I've seen this need, it seems to be politically correct. And like that's crept into the church too, hugely. So, you know, what's that about? Anyway, so it's easy to lose heart when we look at the natural things that are happening. I'm just going to pray. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that this day, Lord, that we can just look to you. And we ask you by your Spirit, Father, cause us not to lose heart. But, Lord, your word gives life. And just, Lord, show us how to apply your word to our lives, how to trust you in the midst of all that's happening. And for those that are tending to lose heart and maybe even questioning, like, I know I went through this many times, like, Lord, where are you? I don't feel you, and I just can't make sense of it, Lord. So for all those that are maybe at that place where they're even questioning their faith in you, we pray that today, Lord God, that as I'm about to speak, that this would just encourage people, Father, to get focused back on you, on your word, not man's word, but your word, because it's in you that we know that we can make sense of things. In Jesus' name. So with that, just want to read from 2 Corinthians. Everybody's got their Bible, right? This is Paul's, actually, third letter to Corinth. 2 Corinthians, but it's his third letter. His first letter, I think, was more confrontational. So this is my first letter to Cloverdale Church. Nobody got that, eh?
Yeah.
Just kidding. It's not confrontational. So 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 10. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. And good word earlier that the light is stronger than the darkness. It's going to push the darkness away. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So that's the thing. Where's our focus? Is it on just the temporal, the natural things, or is it on the eternal things? Pastor Randy spoke last week. He was talking about fear, and I think the week before too, but we know that there's an agenda. There's a fear agenda that the enemy uses to try to control, right? So that's happening right now in the world. But again, as Christians, as I said, I meet a lot of people that love the Lord, but they're in fear too. And so what's with that? I believe as Christians, even though we hear the reports, we should be able to stay at that place of joy in the Lord in the midst of it. Because, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So that's what we need to encourage each other with too. Luke 21:26. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. So we've seen that over the years. I mean, even back in the 30s with the stock market crash. I mean, there were suicides and all kinds of things. People were losing their businesses. Today, there's stock market crashes, and I've heard actually of suicides. People that have lost their business, their lifetime investment, it's gone. So with this happening in the church today, And I've been hearing occasionally, too, of people of faith, Christians, they're just saying, well, you know, I really don't believe that stuff anymore. And they've walked away from their faith in God. Like, how does that happen after they've been a Christian for 20, 30 years? And it makes me think, is this apostasy? Is this the beginning of it or what? I mean, it's sort of been happening all the time, but it's a concern. So as Christians, if we are allowing fear to control us, I suggest that there might be some other foundational problem. And also, this is a time for us to minister to hope to those that are in fear and that are given into it. The foundational thing, I believe, and I'm going to be talking about that, is we need to get back to the foundation of our faith and acknowledge sin. Sin is not being acknowledged anymore. About 2 weeks ago, I shared a little bit last week, 2 weeks ago, Bonnie and I had some things for sale, sold this generator, and the young couple came, picked it up, and we started talking, and the next day they invited us out to their house, out in Abbotsford, or out to his house. And while we were with them, we were just talking about some general things, and then we started talking about faith in God. He is a believer. She was not. She's from Romania, and she's a gypsy. So as we're talking, we're sitting at the table, Bonnie's beside me, and her chair fell. The leg broke on it. So we got her back up and everything. Jacques, he ran around and did that. So, and we're sitting there, and less than half a minute later, Jacques' chair broke. He fell down on the ground. So I'm thinking, boy, how is this, what's the chance of this happening twice, right then, right? So here we are, starting to talk about Scripture, starting to talk about the Lord, and her name's Mia. She's starting to acknowledge that, yeah, you know, I'm really interested. And Jacques, even though he's saved, he's a fairly young Christian, and I think that maybe their understanding of the Scripture or his, I'm not really sure where it is at yet. I'm going to be working with him more. But right away, I heard the word foundation. And so all of that and all that God's been doing in the last couple of weeks brings me to the place of where preparing me to write this, because I believe God is saying something about foundation. I think the thing is, we have been looking at symptoms, like the racism, as the church, gay marriage, pedophilia, whatever it is, we tend to look at the symptoms instead of the root issue. And I believe that is really a solid foundation and grounding in who God is. So with that, I have to ask myself, what's my Christian worldview? So Jesus says, John 14, sorry, I should just have Steve up here with me. John 14. John 14:26-27. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you in all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And in Philippians, Philippians 4, 6-8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So that's what we need to do, is stay focused on the Word of God. So when fear is attempting to control me, there's a natural tendency to react. And I talked about this before, instead of responding in the Spirit. So back down, back to what is my worldview? Do I have a Christian worldview or a secular worldview? A worldview that's built on man, it's all about opinions. And, you know, unless we're grounded in the Word of God, which is the truth, then we could be anywhere in our thinking. The issue is, do I believe God's Word? So I think that was the thing that we really were led to with Mia and Jack was Bonnie right away started talking about the book of Genesis, 1 to 11, and just getting a solid understanding for her in the Word of God, who God is. So there's many different religions, many different beliefs out there, but when it comes down to it, there's really only two belief systems. One is built on God, of course, who is sovereign, created all things, and knows what's best, and boundaries for healthy living. The other belief system is man. I am God. I know what's best. I can do whatever I want, and there's no moral compass. It's just all built on whatever I think is good for myself. And all the other religions that are out there basically boil down to that. They're built on man, but they're not built on God. They're not built on Jesus Christ. So am I going to believe what God says? A few scriptures here. I'm going to run through these pretty fast, but it's basically the bottom line is, can we trust the Bible? And again, I run into people who are Christians, but they say, well, you know, I can believe that part of it. And it's like getting back to Genesis, a lot of people still can't get a hold of the facts about, you know, how things started. And then Noah's Ark and all the rest, right? So I'm just going to read these. I think that Benadryl's getting the better of me. Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Psalm 119 and 142. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law, meaning God's word, is true. So do we agree with that? John 1:14. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Excuse me for a second. I'm drying up. Do you have a song, Brian? I'm just kidding. Yep. Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Psalm 148:5. Let them, the angels, the sun, the moon, the stars, the highest heavens, the waters above the heavens, praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded that they were created. Isaiah 40:26. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these things? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Isaiah 45:12. It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. My own hand stretched out the heavens, and I marshaled their starry hosts. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. So this is where the real attack is. It's on the foundation of the belief in God. There's always been that attack. So again, it's not the issues that we want to look at. It's the foundation. The foundation started in the Garden of Eden. God's authority was challenged, and man wanted to question God's word because basically the enemy was trying to get man to believe that he can be God, that he's in control. So that's where the battle really started, right in the book of Genesis. And I think that we've bypassed that a lot. And I hear a lot of people even say, well, you know, I'm not even into the Old Testament anymore, just the New Testament. And that's good, but we have to understand that the whole Bible from beginning to end is really about Jesus. And there's a whole study you can do where you can go in and you can see the types of Jesus, right back to Genesis, and it's incredible. So our Christian worldview starts in Genesis. You guys have probably heard of Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis. Down in Kentucky, Grant County, there's a Noah's Ark that organization built. And Bonnie and I are actually going to try and get down there. But this whole thing is dedicated to the book of Genesis, really. There's seven sort of steps that you go through when you go there. Creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, the cross, and the consummation. If you're interested in that, it's answersingenesis.org. Look it up. You can actually go through a walkthrough thing online. So with all the different issues that we've heard and talked about, because this is the big one right now, I just got a few notes on racism. And actually, if we look according to the Bible doesn't talk about races. It talks about people groups. So Ken Ham actually suggested that we get rid of that word racism and call it people groups. So here's all this, the people out there trying to destroy history or trying to fix things. And none of that's going to work. Trying to fix things, destroy things. The bottom line is, it's faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way that things are going to come together. So the Aunt Jemima thing, Little House on the Prairie, the protests, the riots, and even changing laws is not going to change it. Again, it's a foundational issue. And the Bible says, back to Genesis again, that we were all made in the image of God, and all men are equal. And in the book of Genesis too, that's the beginning of understanding marriage. And you know, God, when Adam, God saw that Adam needed a helpmate, he brought one woman. He didn't bring five, you know, a helpmate. So, I mean, that's got so twisted too, right? So, and it goes on and on and on with all the basic things that God was setting in place. So instead of races, we're all people groups. And of course, the issue that's really been out there is the blacks, the whites, and all that. And really, we're all of the same color. We're just different shades of brown. There's actually a melanin, it's in our skin. And depending what people group you are, that's where the color comes from. at the Tower of Babel, when the people were dispersed, they started to go to different areas and adapt to their environment. So Adam and Eve, within their genetic coding, they had all the information. They had everything there for every people group that's there. Because we believe in Adam and Eve, right? So they had all the genetic coding for all the people groups today, which, again, just brings that closer together, that we are all one family in God. A professor from Harvard stated, Stephen Gold, a professor from Harvard, biological arguments for racism may have been common before 1850, but they increased by orders of magnitude following the acceptance of the evolution theory. And Darwin's philosophies, that's where that started. And then 1859, Darwin wrote the book Origin of Species, The Descent of Man. Darwin actually stated that Australian Aborigines and black people were closer to the apes and gorillas than white people. So this was, you know, why aren't they tearing down Darwin's statues and all that too, right? And he was actually the proponent for the whole racism issue. So it was there before, but it accelerated hugely. In 1924, the New York Tribune presented a story that they found the missing link in Australia, and it was connected with the Aborigines there. Darwin and his comrades, whatever, they actually desecrated 10,000 graves, Aborigines, to get the bones and study them and prove his theory about the link. Fueled by Darwinism, Hitler justified what he did to the Jews. So that same spirit, Hitler picked up on that. In 1925, a textbook was introduced into the school system about five races, and Caucasians were at the top of the list. In Australia, Ken Ham, he was saying that when he was in school, he was taught that there was four groups. There was the Caucasoids, which was the European white, the Mongoloid, which was Chinese and American Indian, the Negroid, which is African blacks, and the Australian Aborigines. So again, just an encouragement to look up that Answers in Genesis and get into your Bible again too and start reading Genesis again, because there's a foundational history that we need to know, Genesis 1 to 11. And again, we have to ask ourselves, what is my Christian worldview? And do I have a Christian worldview, or have I let another worldview come in to taint that too? So there's one race with just different ethnic groups, people groups. So it's really interesting, too, as we read the book of Genesis, and as you read it again, just ask the Lord even to give you some questions about, like, there's lots there that we've had questions about. I know I did earlier in my faith, and I just sort of let it go, and then I just sort of went through the book of Genesis, read it, and okay, it's done, you go on to the next book. but let's study it. Things that really stood out for me was, and which does make a difference, is the age of the earth. And in Christian circles, there's different views on that. And I believe it's important that we do understand that. And what is God saying in that? That's why it's in the book of Genesis. Where did Cain get his wife? I'm not going to give you the answers right now. You got to study it. Where did Cain get his wife? But things like that. As we study, you know, dinosaurs. When I got, back in 1970, in the 70s, when I got saved, when dinosaurs came up in conversation in the church, nobody wanted to talk about it. It's like, it's not important. Let's just not even deal with it. Noah's Ark. And the list goes on. All these things that we've had questions about. I want to encourage everybody to, I started doing this. I'm not going to tell you to do something or ask you to do something that I'm not doing myself. But we've all done Bible studies. And there's one that's called an inductive Bible study. And it really begins with me getting into the Word, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to me, show me the truths in His Word, and to come to some kind of a conclusion in my own heart about things. And then we go alongside other people that we can trust, that know the Word, and it sort of continues on like that. But there's a site to go to for that. It's called unlockingthebible.org. And there's a 10-step thing to go through to do this Bible study. It's very interesting. So just want to encourage everybody in that. Praise you, Lord. So I believe that there is a call today to get back to some foundations. And I think probably the biggest part of that is just the foundation of acknowledging sin. You know, for all of us here right now, if sin is something, I know that the Lord has set us free and he's taken our sin away, but David talked about my sin is before me all the time. And just the fact that I can I recognize that, it means that I'm in a good place. If I'm not concerned with sin in my life, then that's where I just really need to come back to the cross and recognize that my need for a Savior, because I can do nothing about it. In Jeremiah, and I believe this is from the Lord. Because I believe that with what I've seen, what we're hearing, and different people struggling in their faith, and because I believe that a lot of the church has compromised, and their foundation has slipped over to more built on God's word rather than man's, or built on man's word rather than God's word. Jeremiah 3:14. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. So that causes me to want to again, look at my worldview. And is it on a solid rock? Is it built? Is it on the Word of God? Or have I compromised in my thinking and trying to justify things? And what I'm hearing a lot, too, is, you know, well, this is what I believe. And that doesn't cut it. It's what God believes. And we want to come into what he says. But there's an attitude of, well, God understands, and he'll just accept for, you know, he'll accept my belief on that. But that doesn't cut it. God's word is solid, and it's true, and it works. And so, again, just encourage each one to ask ourselves, is my faith, is what I'm believing, built on God and his word? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, even in the midst of me struggling a bit to get through this, I just thank you, Father, for your goodness, that we can be together here, that we can hear words of truth, that you have encouraged our hearts. Ask you to bless each one that's here, Lord, each one that's listening, that today each of us would take a moral inventory of our hearts. And Lord, by your Spirit, you would just show us maybe where we need to just tweak things a little bit more to get back on track. There's lots at stake, Father. And we know, Lord, you say that your heart is that none should perish. Praise you, Lord. So we thank you, Father, for your goodness, love. Jesus' name.
Well, that was good. Thank you, Ron. It is important that we all have foundation. Without a foundation, the house isn't much good. Dom, why don't you come on up here for a sec? Thanks so much, Ron. I love that. You want to explain about Josh? Or?
Yeah. Whew. Okay. Getting back in shape. Those stairs are good. Up and down. Yeah, thank you, Pastor. I just want to share briefly, there's three topics. One, the first one last week with Jermaine, we're standing outside, and we had a fellow coming across with his car and just pulled his window down. You know, old thinking, it's a cop. It's like, what are you guys doing? Just joking. God is good. There you go, family. There you go. I was like, thank you, Pastor Ron, for today. It's like, but no, it was Josh, a young fella, who was just curious to see all the cars, you know, and what was going on. And I was deeply moved by what he said. You know, like he was looking for a house, you know, a place to come. And hey, Josh, why don't you come up here, please? And he was looking for, yeah, house of prayer, and he found us, you know, just driving by, curious. You know, the Holy Spirit led him there. But there's a little bit more to the story. I'll let him explain, and then I'll come back with the two other announcements. This is Josh, our new friend.
Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you guys. So I was just driving in the neighborhood. I go to a gym just down the street. And I was coming into this area, and I'm going to be pretty truthful. Actually, I was coming over here to smoke some weed, so I'm going to be very upfront with you guys. That's just how I am. I think that as Christians, we need to be open and honest. And I don't like to hide anything. I think that was something that's always kind of pushed me away from Christianity, is how leaders can kind of come up here and say, "Oh, we need to do this, this, and this." But then, you know, I feel like if I make one mistake, so I'm not worthy enough to be in the presence of God. I'm not worthy enough to even share my love for God if I make one mistake. So I was coming in this area just to do the wrong thing, and I was actually late to go pick my mom up to go to a different church service. And so she was pretty upset with me about that. I just drove in, and I saw Dominic and Jermaine, I guess that's your name. And I'm surprised you guys thought I was a cop. I mean, that's kind of funny. So I just asked what was going on, and I saw the sign. It said Cloverdale Christian Fellowship Center or something. And I've been coming to this area for, like, the last 2 months, but I never knew it was a church. And I just spoke to them, and I asked, especially in this time, you know, there's not many churches are open. There's not many places to fellowship with people and kind of be in that environment where you can have that support. And even just with fellowship and singing and stuff, that's something I've been craving so much. just being with people and being able to sing. And so I was really, I felt really excited to be able to just find this place and then find a place now where I can come and, you know, be in the house of God and be with other people. And, you know, to me, I was telling Dom, like, my actions were, I was choosing to walk away from God in that moment, you know? I wasn't choosing to live my life as what God requires us as Christians, you know, to honor him and be of sober mind. And it's really funny. I think Ron, that was the name of the gentleman speaking. I was thinking, I was like, I don't know if I want to bring this up because with the climate today, you know, just with the Black Lives Matter movement and all these things with policing and stuff. But I think it's very, I felt, you know, very special because it made me feel like God was walking away from the 99 and choosing the one. And I think that's what we can kind of see in the climate today. You know, I'm not saying that, like, there's no problems with people of other race or what they're saying is invalid. But there's also things that, sorry, I got very sidetracked there, but there's also things that we see that God, you know, he's really searching for us, and that we can see that, you know, as a general society, there's issues, but then he always individually wants to come and pursue us. And I was very moved just because, you know, like I was saying, like, I was choosing to walk down a bad path, but God still chose to come to me, and he chose to make his way to me, to give me an opportunity. So now I get to be here today where, I mean, I came up and I shared I was going to go smoke some weed and stuff, but, like, that's just me. I'm a very honest person. I'm humble, open, transparent, and I feel very honored that I got a chance to share this, and I'm really thankful to be here, and I just want to, if I could pray over people, if that's cool. I mean, I don't know if that's, would that be okay if I could?
I'll use you for the next topic. Is that good?
Yeah.
For prayer.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent.
Well, thank you. Stay with us. This is God again. I was like, who's going to pray over this next topic? He's chosen. No, I'm excited. Great news. Your joy and just you being here is the Holy Spirit. Always forget your name, never your voice. Brian said this morning, once again, you know, you just say yes. And that's, I think it's one word that the Lord wants us to hear. It's yes. And just trust him. He said fully. Just say yes and be available. Unfortunately, there's in the journey, there's a little bit of a hiccups sometimes and challenges. 2 years ago, we prayed for Jesse, who had some serious health issues. His kidneys failed. He was in Calgary, and Charity went to see him. Prayers were answered. He's 100% starting his new business, responsible of his family. He's got triplets and two kids from her. Unfortunately, this week, and he has a purpose. This is where I put my trust. Charity was diagnosed with cancer. So she's a young mother, 30 years old, and, you know, there's five kids in the house, and it just, you know, her too had to say yes this week. Okay, Lord, your ways, you know. So doctors have a diagnostic. God has a diagnostic. So it's like the juggling between, okay, what do I do? Like, this is life, you know. So if we can hold Helder in prayers, her name is Charity. And we have a friend here in this house. I'm going to ask Mike to come up front, please, with us. And Alina, yeah. So Mike's been with us. And Mike and Alina, you've known them. Two awesome people. I mean, Pastor Randy, a few months ago, had a sermon, and he said he offered us to say yes to God for change. And Alina was sitting right beside us. And she stood up, and she says, I want to change. And ever since, she has her story. If you want to know her, please get to know her. She's a one of ladies. He needs good friends and to witness. And she's walking in the change. She said yes to, and she's walking in it. Mike had some issues last week. We prayed over him. He felt the difference. Unfortunately, like I said, God sees everything. I'm just going to let him share briefly what happened at the hospital, and then we'll pray.
Okay, my name is Mike, and I fortunately had a little bit of bad news. Doctors don't know for sure, but I might have some cancer. I will find out on Monday. But first and foremost, I want to thank Dominic and my good friend here, Pastor. They've been absolutely wonderful to me and my wife. Has helped me a lot. I did the same thing as this gentleman did. I sort of walked away from church. And then one day I was talking to somebody, John, said to me, why don't you go to the church? I said, church, where? He says, so he told me, so I came. And this man here, for 20 years, he's the first one that made me cry when I walked into this church. He made me cry. And my wife went up to him, and she said to him, "Dominic, you're the first man in a long time that made me cry." Because I've always been very proud of myself. I always worked for a living. Now I find myself not being able to work. I've been doomed not workable. I actually just qualified for disability, which was good. And yeah, this church has been great. Dominic has been there 100% for me, and I love him as a brother. This man here, same thing. One of the best pastors I ever met, and I want to thank you for your. And yeah, so I'll leave it alone now, and I'll get you for putting me on the spot.
And he's crying again. Woo! He's crying, but it's good tears. So I'm just going to ask you, Josh, if you want to pray, and yeah, if anyone can come up, and I know we live in social distancing, but he says lay hands. I don't know to which extent that works. Right? I've never seen two miracles, but just if we can lay in on Mike and let's pray for him.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that we had this day to come together, to honor you, to worship you, to be in your presence, and to be in the presence of our Savior. God, we ask that you would just fill this room and fill us with your presence, Lord. We pray for Charity, and we pray for their friends and the illnesses and the challenges they're going through, for the start of a new business, that you would just work in their ways and you would open doors and give favor for them and their opportunities, Lord. Father God, we just thank you for this honorable man, Mike. Lord, I just see that this is a new door and a new opportunity opening. God, I'm not sure what you have planned for him, but Lord, I just see that in whatever route that is going to be taken, that you're going to help him excel, and he's going to be a leader, and he's going to guide others that are hurt, that are broken, that are lost, that are afraid, that have the questions that he's had, but you've given him the answers, Lord. And I just thank you for his strong heart, his openness, and his bravery to come up here and to share his shares emotions, Lord, and I just pray that your comfort and love would be over him, his friends and his family, his wife, and God, that you would just give him the peace that surpasses all understanding. Yeah, Lord, that we're here with family and friends and everything, God, that he's here, that he sees that he's loved, and that he knows that he has nothing to worry about, God, because your love and your grace will just overpower everything, God, and that when we come to challenges in our lives, Lord, and that we can see that they're just there for a moment, God, and we know that your love is it's forever, and it's good, it's pure, God, and we just trust in you, and we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you, God. In your name we praise and thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hallelujah. Wow. Who thought that prayer was in him? You never know what to expect when you come to church, do you? God has lots of ways to surprise us. He's so good. We get a good sermon, and we get new friends, and God's doing good things in the house. Are you feeling like you
want
to?
Well, only if you want me to.
Yeah.
Oh, we invited you here because we like what you do. You know, only if we want you to. Does anybody want him to play one more time? Looks like they want you to.
Specific?
Hey.
Anything specific? Or?
Yeah. What's on your heart? So we'll, Jesus, thank you for today, and thank you for new friends like Josh. Thanks for touching Mike and touching Charity. Lord, the testimony was good of what you had done 2 years ago with Jesse. Lord, and you're bringing people to you. You always draw people to you. No matter what we're doing, we're heading for the wrong place, and you have a way of waylaying us. You have a way of directing our path. And so the path of a righteous man is directed by God. And you directed Josh to this house, Lord, where he's in touch with you. And he prayed today for his new friend, Mike. So, Lord, we're so grateful for all you're doing. Bless each one, we pray. Bless Canada, Lord, in Jesus' name. Why don't we stand and sing, and then you can be released. Bless you.